We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there. They take the confusion out of buying tickets using a 0 to 10 scoring system and a green is good, red is bad color rating system so you and your loved ones get the best deal possible. So whether it's going to see our beloved Red Legs at Great American Ballpark, the Bengals over at Paycor, FC Cincinnati, one of the area college teams, or pretty much anything in between, use promo code RIVERFRONT at checkout and receive $20 off your first order. Click the link in the show notes to download the app and get started. That's Riverfront, one word, for 20 bucks off.
What is up, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving to the nuns of people that are watching us right now. This is the Bengals Show, presented by the Riverfront. I'm your host, Joe Farsing. Alongside me in beautiful, sunny, and very atmospheric Fort Mitchell right now is Greg Niemann. Greg, happy Thanksgiving, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And I wanted to change it up, give us some sunlight, bring whatever positivity we can for today. So, but happy Thanksgiving to all doing well.
I'm just staring across the street at Bigby Coffee. They've got some good lattes, man. And they've got a couple cars. Are they open right now?
It sure looks like it. I mean, they usually stay pretty busy. So,
but it's Thanksgiving at 10. I mean, whatever. I mean,
people in their coffee.
I'm going to ask you when we get done here to come drive one over on this side of the river to me. They got good stuff, man.
Done.
Anyway.
Done.
Yeah. If you guys are watching on YouTube right now, you guys are already there. Hit subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. If you guys are listening on the audios, review us 5 stars, all that fun stuff. We're good people. We like to be liked. We're doing things a little bit differently this week because of the injury to Joe Burrow. This is the Everything is Awful episode. We're just kind of going to go in where the Bengals are going to go, where the season looks like from here on out. First off, you know, we'll show the standings in the AFC North after the Bengals. You know, both games were inter-divisional matchups. Ravens obviously beat the Bengals on Thursday night. Browns beat the Steelers in just a gross game. I called it last week's episode. I said the first to 12 wins against the Browns and Steelers. Browns won 13-10 on a walk-off field goal at the gun. So pretty much had that one pegged.
Yeah.
Browns play the Broncos Sunday afternoon. Yippee. That's, you know, it's probably going to be another low scoring game. Although the Broncos have kind of turned things around. They're still not a offensive juggernaut by any means, but going up against the Browns defense, Browns still have Dorian Thompson Robinson, who isn't very effective. None of their quarterbacks have been. Expect another slugfest. Maybe the Broncos can win. I don't know. I don't care at this point. Ravens with their win over the Bengals, they're up to the number one seed in the AFC. They're at the Chargers on Sunday night. I think the Chargers, I mean, Chargers are froggy. They underachieve as usual, but they still have a lot of talent on offense, even with injuries. I think Mike Williams is he's out for the year, isn't he?
He's out for a while. Yeah, I don't know if it was the year. I thought there was like maybe an outside chance, but it's definitely a while.
Yeah, I think they're starting to figure out how to use Quentin Johnson, their first round pick out of TCU. I mean, it would be nice to see them learn how to utilize three receivers. I mean, Bengals seem to figure that out. Johnson did nothing for the first half of the season, but again, yeah, you still have.
I thought my first round bust of the draft with Quentin Johnson was looking pretty solid.
Yeah, it's in terms of if you're drafting a wide receiver in the first round, that's a pick that you're expecting to develop and contribute pretty quickly. It's not. I mean, the Bengals were in a position. Say what you want about Miles Murphy. Like where he is, hate where he is. He wasn't picked to do a whole lot. And we've said this several times. He wasn't picked to contribute this year. It's whatever he gives you, you know, in the latter half of the year, which we're coming up on, you know, which we're in now, is a benefit and hopefully just a preview of things to come next year. But if you're going to skill position player, running back, wide receiver, quarterback now, I mean, these guys all start, especially, you know, guys picked at the top of the draft, they're all starting and, you know, playing from day one. But that's a Chargers thing. We're a Bengals thing. So, Pittsburgh is in third place. They fired Matt Canada, so all is not lost for them, I guess. What does that do? Is that really changing anything? You still have a bad quarterback. You've had the same offense for a year and a half. They're not just going to go completely change up their schemes. I mean, Kenny Pickett does decent when he's thrown from play action.
Joe, I can't hear you. Joe, I lost you. I think I lost your volume. This is a promo for Verizon. Can you hear me now? We're gonna link up with Verizon, guys. You know, we're so close. We thought Verizon would be a good sponsor. Technical difficulties. We went live, so here we are. But speaking of the Chargers, which we were talking about earlier, and he was talking about them overachieving. I don't even know if it's overachieving with the Chargers. I mean, that's just what they do. Justin Herbert's a 500 quarterback. I've never understood all the praise he gets with lack of results. And, there's still a faction of people out there that are saying he's better than Joe Burrow, which is mind-blowing to me. But, Joe, you back with us?
I'm back in person. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got
it. Yay! That's fantastic. I have no idea what... I've been having issues with this microphone. I moved around my setup about a month and a half ago. And just having some dumb issues, like everything, the power, my light is on. When I'm pulling up the settings and everything, it's showing that it's working, but it just goes out. I'm going to blame it on StreamYard, even though it's probably something on my end.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's fair. And we got a, you know, basically a free promo for Verizon. So, you know, we're getting closer and closer every day.
I have been told Verizon execs do watch our podcast. They're one of the 15 people that watch this weekly. And Sydney is sad because she can hear me now. You know, there's other stuff to do. Like, it's Thanksgiving and family. You know, you're going to have to spend it with family, so start pre-gaming. I mean, goodness sakes. No one's forcing you to watch this, Sydney. God. Anyway, quick news and notes before we go into the stuff. Chase Brown designated to return. I hope they bring him along and he plays this week. I want to see him integrated. Again, this is the perfect week. You know, in this week one post Joe Burrow, there was talk about him being integrated and used more right before he went out. So he was a full participant in practice. So supposedly his hamstring is completely back to normal. Do you think we'll see him? Maybe not. You know, obviously he's not going to replace Joe Mixon, but do you think, you know, we're going to see him this week, and think we're actually going to see more of a true backup. Where I mean, Bengals haven't used anybody. I mean, Trevion Williams has 10, 11 carries on the season compared to like 500 to Joe Mixon. So it's not like it's all of a sudden going to be a 50-50 split, but yeah, is he going to get you? Do you really think he's going to get utilized?
My hope is that, you know, he would get somewhere in the range of 10 carries, 10 plus carries. I don't know that that'll necessarily happen this week. Because the Bengals are still 5-5 and they're still, you know, preaching that they are going to try to push for the postseason with Jake Browning, and that this team's really going to, you know, is still a good team without Burrow, which I don't necessarily disagree with. So I could see them going after it this week. Because if you get a win this week, I mean, you really are right in the thick of things. And with some of the teams that are in the mix, Steelers, they've been outgained at every game. You could easily see them falling off. The Browns have no quarterback. You can see them falling off. The Denver Broncos started 1-5. They're in the mix. The Texans are in the mix. You could see a lot of these teams dropping off. So I think I could see the Bengals giving this another week of whatever you want to call it, full go or the best available option or whatever they love the most. But I think as the season progresses and they – if they lose one or two more, I think then you'll really start to see Chase Brown and some of these guys that we want to see get as many reps as we would like to see them. I personally would love to see the Bengals go all in on getting these guys reps. You know, Miles Murphy playing massive reps, Chase Brown playing massive reps, Jordan Battle playing the whole game. That's just where I would go. But I think we're maybe a week out from that, maybe two.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't disagree with you here that, yeah, they'll probably, you know, they'll bring him along slowly because, like, again, he has, I think, one carry on the season in the first, 6 weeks that he was active or, you know, or before, you know, before he injured his hamstring. And like I just put up on the banner, I think Chase Brown helps you more than Mixon with this offense anyway because he has actual escapability. I do expect them to use the run a little bit more. Again, Bengals offense isn't going to change, and we'll get into that here in a little bit when we get to the actual meat of the episode, but I do think they're going to run the ball a little more, which means they'll have to use others besides Mixon, just so, you know, he's not absolutely just worn out in the next 2 weeks. So T and Cam Taylor-Britt were both non-participants in practice. T still having the hamstring issue. He was jogging. I saw him jog up the little hill up to the practice field yesterday. Cam Taylor-Britt has the quad injury that he's been kind of dealing with a handful of weeks. It injured it last Thursday. He said he's going to try to give it a go. He's not sure. I'm not sure with the how much of an actual practice or if it's going to be just kind of like a walkthrough today for the Bengals, especially with them being home this weekend. It's not as if they need to cram everything in before they travel on Saturday. So I'm curious to see what the actual participation report looks like for today for Cam Taylor-Britt. I don't think we're going to see T. Higgins again this week. There are questions actually out there on social media. Has Joe Burrow thrown his last ball to T. Higgins? That remains to be seen. I don't think so, but it's possible. There's still a, I'd say, 33% chance that Burrow has thrown his last pass to T. Higgins, which is disappointing, but we'll see. In good news, Sam Hubbard was limited and he looks to be on track to play. They really miss him. Again, what he gives you in pass rush is complete 100% icing on the cake. He is so good on run defense, just setting the edge and all of these runs to the outside, all of these plays that are getting loose, especially on the offensive right side, which is he's the left defensive end. Sam's going to block those up. He's going to keep it contained and bottled in and head back into the middle of the field. And the defense has been bad the last couple weeks with him been out. Now, they've been up and down even with him, but things had kind of leveled off a bit towards the middle of the season. But with him out, things have, you know, Ravens got a lot done, and Texans, I mean, God, Devin Singletary ran all over him 2 weeks ago. So if he can play, and it looks like he should be able to play, that's definitely going to help them against the team like the Steelers, who can't throw the ball and are going to run the ball, still using the wrong guy too often. But we know what that's like.
Yeah, he's just so consistent as a defense. That's just such a massive thing to have. When you can have consistency, you know what you're going to get. And he really is like Mr. Consistent. I feel like him and Trey Hendrickson, just so you're never gonna get something that you weren't expecting. They are what they are, and it's play in, play out, no matter what. And it's a beautiful thing to have when you have it.
Yeah, and it's not just consistent. It's you're getting 110% every single play. I mean, they don't take a play off. Yeah. I mean, that was this huge. I mean, you almost kind of wish Trey would kind of throttle himself back a little bit, or maybe someone else give some production so he can get some rest. At this year, it doesn't look like it's going to be that big of an issue down the stretch, because it possibly likely won't matter. Still, you don't want him to get hurt because he's playing out there exhausted and then pull something, or, you know, tweaks a knee or something like that. So we'll see. Yoshi was limited. He looks like he's on track to play, which, again, if with T probably still not playing, it will be nice to have that big bodied receiver. Browning likes to take chances. I mean, Jake Browning is the guy that made John Ross a top 10 pick. Bengals picked John Ross a pick before Patrick Mahomes because Jake Browning was throwing him deep passes and letting him do his thing. So Browning likes to take chances. Like he'll throw the ball downfield. He's not going to be a check down Charlie. And that's fine. If you're not going to be good, be interesting. And I don't expect him to go all Nick Foles and drag the Bengals into the Super Bowl or anything. But they're at least going to be, I think he's going to make it interesting. So
I think this is a great moment for the Bengals just overall. I think you get to see the Bengals bought into Jake Browning. They thought he was a prospect at the quarterback position. And now here you are. You're in the Bengals are 5-5 in a playoff race, and Jake Browning's the guy. And now you get the game plan with Jake Browning. I think this is super interesting. And I think Jake Browning will surprise some of us. I think he's probably better than a lot of people think. So I'm super interested to watch him. I really want to watch him the rest of the year. Of course, this isn't the scenario I wanted to be in, but, you can't control everything. And now that we're here, I am interested to see the guy get his shot.
Yeah, and he didn't look great in preseason,
right?
Which, happens. It's not, he's also dealing with the backup offensive line. I mean, the Bengals first team offensive line isn't fantastic. So the backup offensive line clearly is going to struggle. He has Jamar Chase. He has Tyler Boyd. He has Herb Smith and Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson, but he's got a full complement of weapons. It is kind of funny because when he first came in, it's almost like he forgot who he had on offense, because the first handful of passes were going to Trenton Irwin, threw some to Shedrick Jackson. I'm like, you've got number one out there. he did throw a couple, ended up throwing a touchdown pass to Jamar, and threw a deep ball to Chase, threw it a little out of bounds. But again, be bold, go out there. Like, if you suck, you're expected to suck. Go out there and, I mean, he's got confidence. Like, I don't know if you saw the press conference, quarterback press conference yesterday. I mean, he pretty much showed all the confidence and, what you want to see from a quarterback. Now, is that going to translate on the field? I don't know. I mean, realistic Bengal fans aren't exactly optimistic, and I'm talking about should they just tank to go 5-12 and get the best draft pick possible and go get try to find a way to go get Marvin Harrison. That's not happening. None of that's happening. But we shall see. I do want to ask, what are your thoughts on, and a lot of talk about it, and especially Logan Wilson's getting absolutely dragged, and it's bullshit. But what are your thoughts on the hip drop tackle? You coach defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. Okay, so you can't hit them high. You can't hit them low if you're tackling the quarterback. Receivers are starting to get angry with people hitting them low immediately. Guys are dragging tacklers. These are superhuman athletes that are dragging. I have no idea. do we want to play flag football? You guys want to bitch and complain about a hip drop tackle? This is so maddening to me. If you don't want to get hurt from a hip drop tackle, when the guy makes contact, go down. It's that simple. I mean, if you're afraid of getting hurt on a tackle, just go down when you get hit. This is ridiculous. We've restricted so many things we can do on defense, and now we want to add a restriction to how I can grab you and pull you to the ground. You can't grab the face mask. You can't grab inside the shoulder pads. I mean, everything about this is so ridiculous to me. And anybody saying that Logan Wilson is dirty or this is such a non-issue. This is so stupid. It's literally just dumb. And I could not care less about anything any more than this. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I can't explain it any other way. I think it's completely laughable.
Well, let me ask you, is that even taught? Like the tackle on Mark Andrews, how do you stop a 250-pound athlete, especially if you're coming from, if he's going full head of steam and you're coming from the side or behind, how else are you supposed to take them down without them dragging you? Like, this was at the, I think, 4 or 5 yard, like it was inside 5 yard line. And do you just hold, like, grab them around the waist and let them drag you into the end zone? And well, I tried. How are you supposed to bring someone down? Like, it's,
I'm sure it's taught somewhere. I don't think this is something that people are like, hey, we're about to tackle this way to get them. No. Okay. Let's say if I'm wrapped up on somebody and I have to bring you down, I mean, that's the first thing you're going to do. I think it's just natural. I don't know what else. We're going to pull out the coach. You play to win the game. Okay. I mean, I'm going to tackle the guy. I don't know what you want me to do. I think it's complete natural instinct. When I've got a 6'5", 255-pound guy carrying me, I mean, I can't. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous. I think it's complete natural instinct, and that's I have to bring you down. That's I get paid millions of dollars to bring you down. I don't know what you want me to do.
Well, that's the thing. It's what's the easiest, especially someone who's big. What's the easiest way to what's the best way to bring them down? Where's their center of gravity? Where's their center of balance? The hips, that's you have to find a way to swing the hips, grab them around the hips, and then you're supposed to grab them around the waist, and then I don't understand. Again, any tight end who's got any athletic ability, who's in front of a defender, you just have to let them go. Or what, do you dive at their knees?
Right.
Like, you can't, you can't get in for mics. Obviously, I understand. I completely understand the horse collar tackle being, because it's dangerous. There are so many injuries that can occur from that.
Yeah.
But this is, Ravens fans were talking a lot of trash, and it's just negative, just fan. I mean, it's especially on social media. You only hear the loud, obnoxious 5%. Right. But that tackle, that's the same tackle that Jadeveon Clowney put on Deshaun Watson that ended his season the week before. Like, it's a tackle that happens. It's not dirty. It's just one that causes injuries. I mean, unfortunately, injuries happen. Certain tackles are going to be more injured. Right. And there's actual conversation now going on that they are going to look into banning this tackle and having it be a personal foul.
Put flags on their hips. Flags on their hips. Let's play flag football.
Right.
The guy that should be bitching the most about this is Rob Gronkowski. For 10 years, we watched him get tackled this exact way every single time. And the guy was a monster. There was no way to bring him down.
Right. And that's why, because there was no way to bring him down. He's big and fast. And if you're tackling him from behind, it's one thing. If you're in front of them, you can break him down and 100%. Slow him up and wait. Like that's teaching tape tackling. If you're from behind, there's no other way to bring a large someone 250 pounds down, and unless you're 300 pounds yourself and you can grab them around the chest, and push them over. I don't, it's frustrating. You don't want to see injuries. You don't, but football's a physical game. And I get rugby has found a way to take hip drop tackles out. Okay, cool. So you don't make it a penalty. You bring rugby players, you bring ruggers in to show NFL players, and you give them a couple years, like, to teach it out and say by 2000, like, if you want to take it out, I think it's dumb. I think it's going to make it really hard to bring down these big guys, but you give them some time. You give them a couple years to try to figure this out. You don't immediately make it a tackle. You don't immediately make it a penalty, or you're completely fucking over the defense, because they're going to, these tackles are still going to happen, and you're going to get 15-yard penalties, and you're still going to get injuries, and it's going to, it's, referees suck as it is. Penalties, there are too many penalties as it is, and it's just going to be worse. And it's infuriating, and it's making it's a hard product to watch. It really is.
No, I mean, it'll be the beginning of, it'll be, in my mind, it's the beginning of the end of the real NFL. I mean, I hate to say that, but at some point, as you continue to add in legislation against the players tackling a certain way, which means that when they see a hip drop tackle, that'll be a fine. I mean, yep. So they're already, these guys are already losing hundreds of thousands of dollars for these fines. And now you're going to add in a hip drop tackle. I mean, you will never stop the offense ever. It'll never happen. I mean, ever. It was already getting tough with the roughing the passers, defenseless yeah. receiver. How do I stop a receiver? If you throw a perfect ball, I guess I can't, I'm not even allowed to try to hit him to break it up if it's bang, bang. Like,
yeah, I mean, you can't separate the receiver from the ball until he's actually caught it and then been able to brace
his leg. Two steps. Yeah. I mean, so what do we do? So you can't hit the receiver. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit with your helmet. You can't tackle. You can't grab the face mask. You can't horse collar. You can't drop your hips. I mean, Jesus, what's left? What is left? How do you do anything?
Right.
I don't like this at all. And this is the most nervous I've been about. There's going to be a day where I don't watch the NFL because it's no longer a product that's viable to watch and enjoy.
Yeah, and a lot of this comes back to the simple fact that modern NFL players are bigger, faster, and stronger. So these tackles that were once celebrated or were commonplace, A, are penalties because the players are getting hurt, and B, a lot of these tackles just are ineffective. Like, a 250, like, how many years ago did you have 250-pound offensive linemen? Probably 35 years ago, you had 265-pound offensive guards. Now you have tight ends that are that size or bigger that can run a 4-5. How are you supposed to bring someone that big and that fast and that strong? I understand. Go ahead.
Instead of banning these tackles, why don't we just limit all NFL players that they can't be taller than 6 feet? Seriously. I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference between you're not allowed to tackle all of these ways, and how about we just keep everybody under 6 foot and under 200 pounds? Nobody's allowed to be big. Nobody's allowed to be strong. We're done. All the injuries are gone. Yeah. I mean, why don't we just do that? I mean, that's how ridiculous this sounds to me.
Yeah, and again, nobody wants to see injuries. You don't want to see your star players go out. You don't want to see Joe Burrow go out with a wrist injury. You don't want to see Mark Andrews, who's the top 3-4 tight end. Like, no one wants to see him go out with an ankle injury. I guess there's hope that he might be able to make it back by the end of the season, or at least by the playoffs. But injuries happen. These are bigger, faster, stronger players, and it's good. I get it. Like, there needs to, like, you need to be able to find some way that's, I don't want to say compromise, but something that you can try to, I don't know. Does that make any sense? I mean, normal ways of tackling, like, it doesn't work anymore. Cause I mean, everybody runs through arm tackles.
Right.
And the ways to bring down these bigger players are ways that are more likely to cause injury. So what is the solution? I don't know. The
solution is when you're Mark Andrews on offense and Logan Wilson grabs you around the waist, you know, when he's behind you and grabs you, you go down. Go
give up. Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, who really wants to see that though, too? It's got us both all hot and bothered. This is a day for coming together and all that fun shit. No, it really isn't, but whatever.
I mean, you know, if we're going to limit the defense, how about it's time we start limiting the offense in some capacity? Just go down. If you don't want to get hurt, if you're going to be a pansy ass, go down.
Right.
Just go down.
See, that's my thing. That's my issue. When you have quarterbacks, and obviously it's mostly quarterbacks because they're the ones that are more into preservation when they're running. But even a quarterback who's either on a designed run or on a scramble, they're getting 8, 9, 10 yards downfield and then immediately just dropping and sliding. And as soon as like they start to go down, you have to let up or you're going to get a penalty. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. You saw, and this was, I think it was in college a couple years ago. Somebody faked like they were getting ready to slide. Was he at Pitt?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so. I thought it was college a couple years ago, and you know, faked like he was going to slide. Defenders gave up, and then he, you know, went back up. Or went back into running full speed and scored on the play or something like that.
Yeah,
those are the ones that irritate the hell out of me. Again, you don't want your quarterback drilled, but if you're outside, I get giving yourself up, but it's frustrating because quarterbacks, any quarterback with any athletic ability, they're guaranteed to get 5, 6, 7 yards because no one wants to hit them hard because you can't hit them hard. And as soon as you see them, their shoulders or their hips sink, you assume they're going down and you got to let off. Those are the ones that frustrate the hell out of me. But
yeah, I mean, theoretically to me, that should be a penalty. If you're running the ball and you pretend like you're going to slide, that should be a penalty.
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
I just don't know what else. So I have to pull up. Yet you can still run full speed. Yet if I touch you, it's my fault. Yet you can fake me. I mean, it's like playing with a stacked deck.
Yeah. Speaking of things that I think should be a penalty that don't understand aren't, why isn't a quarterback spike an intentional grounding? You're in the tackle. There's no receiver. Yeah. Like, you know, it's behind the line. It's literally every criteria that...
It's the asterisk. The only caveat is to this. The only caveat to the quarterback spike is there's a couple caveats to it. A, you have to do it from under center.
Right.
You cannot do it from shotgun. And B, it has to be immediate.
Yeah.
If you take two steps back and do it, it is intentional grounding. So, I mean, I think they just put it in the rules for a way for the offense to stop the clock. But, yeah.
And I get it. It's just one of those, like, quirks of the rules. I mean, baseball's got a million of them. And that's why I think baseball is fantastic because the rules are so damn weird. But, like, I want to see someone actually have to spike it at somebody's feet. Like Burrow's got to, you know, got to throw it at, you know, at the ground at Jamar's feet or something like that. I don't know. I think that'd make it a little more entertaining. You'd see linemen. Actually, Jalen Carter almost did this last week. Dove. That would have been possibly the greatest play in a defensive lineman has ever made. But
real quick on that topic, who would you rather have get the one seed, Chiefs or Ravens? I mean, which one? If you had to choose between those two. One of them's got to get the one seed. Who would you rather have get that one seed?
Ravens, because I want to see Mahomes try to win a game on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I don't hate the Ravens quite as much as I hate the Steelers. So I'm with you. I would choose Ravens. And obviously, I despise Mahomes and his entire family and all of it. So
it's kind of nitpicking. I mean, people try to knock his legacy, whatever the hell you want to call it, Mahomes, because he's never won a road playoff game. He hasn't had to. He's made 3 Super Bowls in his career and won 2 of them. Like, he's the best quarterback in football right now. And it's irritating, but he hasn't had to, hasn't really had to win many road playoff games. So
yeah, and I've made this prediction before. I don't think on here I've made this prediction before, and I'll do it again. And I stand by this. The Chiefs have a 0% chance to win the Super Bowl this year. None.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will not be playing in the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to take this a step farther, and this is where I think I'll probably get a little bit of reaction from you. Mahomes will never win another Super Bowl. That is my prediction. I know that's a long running one. Mahomes is done. They will not win another Super Bowl. Their offense is atrocious right now. Travis Kelce's talking retirement. They really are fairly close to needing some sort of kind of rebuild. Their defense is okay, but their offense is not good.
it's hilarious because again, they've got, you know, they've got the best quarterback in the NFL. They've got the most, I mean, Kelsey's got to be the most sure-handed third down, fourth down receiver, regardless position in the NFL, right?
Yep.
And Andy Reid has become even more conservative and more of a wimp going for it on fourth down, especially in plus position, plus territory, than anybody. Like even worse than even worse than Taylor. And we bitch a lot about Zach Taylor. I mean, you have the best quarterback and like a huge tight end who can just box out anybody on the field. It's fourth and four, fourth and three. Send them a yard past the sticks. Turn around, put your hands up, and throw it. You know, throw it right at his fingertips and let him go up. You know, and make a catch. And yet they don't. They punt it away. They lost on Sunday. Sunday. When was Philly games? That's Sunday or Monday? That was Monday.
Monday night.
Monday. Yeah. Because they couldn't do that.
Well, and I think that tells you what Andy Reid thinks about the Chiefs' offense. It is garbage. The Chiefs' offense, they are a bad offense. So in the 5 weeks before Josh Allen, before the Bills fired Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, you look at the previous 5 weeks, the Bills fired Ken Dorsey because their offense was not good. Josh Allen's not playing up to par, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so Josh Allen's OC gets fired. If you look at the five previous weeks, and you put Josh Allen's numbers next to Mahomes, Josh Allen's numbers blow Mahomes out of the water. Josh Allen's offensive coordinator is fired. Mahomes is still the greatest thing ever since sliced bread, and he's playing subpar football. I think we lost your volume, Jeff. But, I mean, Just continuing on with the Bills and the Chiefs, I think Mahomes has been, if you're just looking at this year, he's an overrated quarterback. I mean, he's not the best quarterback in the league. He's been overrated. He hasn't been that old Mahomes. And I know his receiving weapons aren't as good as they used to be, but I think him being the clear cut number one to me is in question now that he's lost Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce's not playing like the greatest tight end of all time. He looks very, very human and very, very average.
You got me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, cool. It has been since week 7 that the Chiefs have scored any points at all in the second half. That was the 31-17 win over Chargers. Next week was, they lost to Denver 24-9. All 9 points were scored in the first half. They beat Miami a few weeks ago, 21-14, scored 0 points in the second half against Philadelphia.
And they had a defensive touchdown against Miami.
Yeah, and lose to Philadelphia 21-17, 0 points in the second half. They are last in the NFL in EPA per drive in the second half of games, which is absolutely... people absolutely try to knock Joe Burrow because he has T. Higgins, he has Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. You need playmakers. Again, I like Isaiah Pacheco, and they've got some useful receivers. It's not like they're all terrible, but you have a bunch of probably number three receivers. You need a stud receiver. Like they won last year, they had decent production, but you need that guy. They won because teams kind of fell by the wayside. Well, they won because Bengals had an absolutely backup second or offensive line, and Tyler Boyd got injured.
Yeah. Well, and so where's they picked up Mecole Hardman. So let's not act like they didn't, that he doesn't have things. Okay. He's got Mecole Hardman. He's got Rashee Rice. He's got Pacheco. He's got Travis Kelce. Still got a pretty good offensive line in front of him. All this, where's the national media talking about Mahomes?
Yeah.
If this was Burrow, you best believe, oh, what's wrong with Burrow? What's wrong in Cincinnati? That would be the headline. Okay, Mahomes throws one pass, and it's, oh, my gosh, he's the greatest thing ever. He doesn't score a second-half point in 5 weeks, and nobody knows that he's playing subpar football. Nobody.
It's crazy. And, I mean, they give him a pass because – it's actually kind of ridiculous that they give him a pass. Have you ever seen a grown man cry more than Patrick Mahomes on every single step. It's the entire team. I get teams are going to beg, like, if you're going to throw a flag for, if your quarterback is there complaining about a play and you throw a flag and give them a flag, they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep doing it. So that's why they do it. But oh my God, every single play, they're in the referee's face bitching. It's like,
yeah. Well, he's, to me, I see a combination of two people when I see Patrick Mahomes. Okay. The first one is Ben Roethlisberger. He's always going to limp.
Yeah.
He's always going to have some sort of little tiny tweak injury that he can say, well, you know, look, this is amazing. Look at Mahomes. He comes back in the fourth quarter with a touchdown drive on a bad knee, which is all bullshit. The second guy that I think he's very, so much more similar to than people realize, and nobody wants to say it, he's exactly like his brother, except that the Kansas City Chiefs have, you know, he's in the NFL. You can't act like a complete idiot. But I'm telling you, he is similar to his brother. Everything is about Mahomes. Everything's about him. How do I want to say this? He wants to be the best ever, but he already knows that he's the best ever. And he's nowhere close to the best ever, in my opinion. But he's just, I'm telling you, he's a lot more like his TikTok brother than you would imagine.
It's, I mean, they're spoiled. I mean, and you can, I mean, they're children of a Major League Baseball player. Now, granted, you know, their dad, Pat Mahomes, wasn't a star by any means, but he was a major league pitcher for a long time. They grew up like not exactly lacking for anything. Like they had money and they act just like a bunch of spoiled brats.
This tells me everything you need to know. Did Patrick Mahomes throughout? So how old is Mahomes right now? 26, 27,
27,
whatever?
I believe.
So for the first 25 years of his life, did he ever look at his brother and say, leave me alone, get as far away from me as you can? That would be a no. So he had a quarter century of his brother's nonsense and never said, you know what, I'm done with you. Never said that until the national media said, this guy's a clown. And Mahomes is like, you got to stay away. I'm done with you. I can't be around you. So if after 25 years, you're not a big enough problem for me, then I like you. Then I like what you bring to the table. I'm telling you, Mahomes is a lot more like his brother than people want to admit. And he's totally fine with his brother's actions. The only reason that he dismissed his brother is because the Chiefs told him to. Otherwise, his brother would be at every game. He'd still be dancing on Sean Taylor's memorial. He'd still be doing these dumbass TikToks. I'm telling you right now, Mahomes is... he's not who we thought he was. I'm telling you, he's a different dude.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, seventh in PFF grade for passing and everything. Yeah, he's 28 now, but it's like he can still make throws that most guys can't. He's got the arm strength, he's got the creativity to make the off schedule throws and everything, but he's just a turd.
Clearly, I don't like him, but you know, it didn't take a genius to figure this out. But
right, all right, we kind of went off track, and I'm completely cool with that. But we do need to go forward. Look forward for the rest of the season. Bengals do play Pittsburgh on Sunday at 1 p.m. Again, we're not going to do a much of a game preview, so much as we are last 7 weeks of the season preview. What do we think the rest of the season looks like?
For me personally, what I'm looking for, and I think I'm trying to find what kind of positives we can pull out of this. I'm super interested in watching Jake Browning. Obviously, you know, seeing the young guys start to get a lot more reps and meaningful reps, you know, early in the game and extended reps. I want to see Miles Murphy 12 plays in a row. I want to see Miles Murphy against, you know, a team's best tackle 12 plays in a row where he's got to go 100%. 12 plays in a row. Talk about that consistency with Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. It's not only consistency, but it's high level consistency. You've got to be 110% and still be consistent, which, you know, a lot of guys struggle having that motor. The thing that I think I look most forward to, because I think this gives us a path to get out of Zach Taylor calling plays, which I think would be beneficial to the Bengals, is A, either Zach Taylor's got to become more creative and include the run game no matter what, which I thought should have been done from day one. But if he can't, then maybe now's the time where, you know, Joe Burrow's not in, the Super Bowl pressure is not on you. So this is maybe an opportunity for Zach Taylor to give up play calling duties. And I'm not saying he will, but I think it does kind of open the question to maybe we should try this out, Zach, where we give up play calling duties for a couple weeks and let's see how that works and let's see how you like that. And you can still sprinkle in your little touch on the offense. So that's the number one thing I'd like to see is A, Zach Taylor, if you're going to continue to call plays, then you're going to have to get super creative. And let's see how good you are as an offensive coordinator, because you don't just have Joe Burrow dropping back, throwing to whoever he wants, and one of the most elite quarterbacks in the game. Now you're working with Jake Browning. No offense to Browning, but, you know, he's a different quarterback than Joe Burrow. So the onus is on you, Zach Taylor. You have to be creative. You have to come up with a game plan. You have to do the things that are necessary to win a ball game with Jake Browning at quarterback, and there's no excuses. So, and if you can't do that, I think then if we can't be creative enough, then we need to give up the play calling duties. And then moving forward, if we can get to that point where these plays are creative enough with Jake Browning, then that's the offense we need to have with Joe Burrow. Instead of putting the entire onus on Joe Burrow, we've got to carry that offense of Jake Browning forward to Burrow. And then we can run it that way, and that allows everybody else to step up. Now that Joe Burrow's out, everybody else has to take that step forward. That's exactly what we needed when Joe Burrow was in. So I think there are some opportunities here, and I think some good things can come of this. It'll be an interesting last couple of weeks to see how that kind of transitions.
Yeah, and I know Zach Taylor watches our show here, so I'm going to get real close, and I'm going to talk to you. It is now time to do your job. For four seasons now, you have relied on scripting a couple series in the beginning of the game, turning the entire game plan, giving the ball to Joe Burrow, and say, do what you want. Time to do your fucking job.
Yeah.
Time to be creative. Time to commit to running the damn ball. I'm not a fan of running the ball 25, 30 times like it's 1994. Like, that's... Right. But if you're going to run the ball, fucking run it. Go out there and put heavy formations in. Use two tight ends, 12 personnel, three tight ends. Like, you do that once, twice a game. Play more under center. You were so good. Bengals were so good at that in Seattle or San Francisco. It seems like they had more of the game scripted, like not just the first couple drives. They've gone away from that. They'll use it in their first couple drives when they're scripted, and then they'll go back to running to primarily being shotgun.
Yep.
You're going to have to find a way to scheme up ways to make the ball to give Jake some easier throws, because he still has the skill players. So it's not as if he's out there throwing to second team players or throwing to substandard playmakers. You have Jamar Chase. T. Higgins is going to be back, you know, hopefully next week versus the Jags or something like that. Like, he'll be back soon. You have promising younger players. Like, T.I. is a reliable receiver. He's not a game breaker, but he's a reliable guy. He's going to catch it when you throw it. Tyler Boyd's going to catch everything unless it's a crucial touchdown against Houston. Be creative. Find a way to scheme it up. Like, Brian Callahan, Zach Taylor, do your fucking jobs.
Yep.
You don't have Burrow to rely on, which is good. And again, and I am completely 100% on board. Like, I don't say you stole my thunder, but you're right where I was in terms of, if you're able to make a functioning offense with Jake Browning, who, again, we all thought just failed less in preseason, right?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't win the backup job so much as Trevor Siemian was just so fucking bad that Jake Browning was the guy by default. And he looked better second game. Like, he looked better third game. He looked pretty good throwing the ball and running the offense week three. But again, you're going up against backups. So this isn't like they have Joshua Dobbs or some guy who's a more, I don't want to say reliable back, because there's no such thing as a reliable back. There aren't 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in the NFL. So I kind of find it funny that people are making a big deal that the Bengals didn't have a better backup quarterback because of stuff like this. if you have to rely on your backup quarterback, your season is probably screwed. And if it's not, then you're lucky.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about that before. I mean,
yeah,
you know, my philosophy on backup quarterbacks, I just, you know, if the backup's in at this point, I, you know, bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah,
there's just nothing you can do.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, there, if your backup quarterback is good, it's because your starting quarterback isn't good and you need someone reliable. Like, your starting quarterback is, as much as I love him, Des Ridder, and you've got Tyler Heinicke, who's at least I wouldn't say high upside, but I mean a useful backup.
Yeah.
Joshua Dobbs is a career backup. I mean, Brown sure as hell wish they had him. They traded him to Arizona, and they'd rather have him than Dorian Thompson Robinson, Jones Smith Jackson, 85 names, or PJ Walker. But I mean, look at all the backup. I mean, Gardner Minshew starting in. I mean, is Gardner Minshew really any, like, he had some fun games in Jacksonville years ago, and they moved on from it. Like, your backup quarterback.
The thing that I think about a backup quarterback is all those guys you named, which are top tier backups, Minshew, Heinicke, Josh Dobbs. Can any of those guys legitimately win you a Super Bowl?
Right.
And if they can't, then, I mean, if I go to my backup quarterback and we lose in the divisional round of the playoffs, well, I would have rather just gone 5-12. I play to win the game, you know, like we want to win
the game.
Super Bowl. Yeah. We want to win the Super Bowl. I'm not here to win divisional round games. Now, 5 years ago, I don't know, different question. I probably would have said, hell yeah, I'll take it. But now, I mean, it's Super Bowl or nothing. And I'm not saying it's Super Bowl or bust because I'm not blasting the Bengals. I mean, you know, injuries happen. But once Super Bowl is not the final answer, then I want it to be – I want to go 3-14. I want to lose games, and I want Marvin Harrison Jr., and I want Brock Bowers, and I want – that's just how I feel about it. If I'm not going to win it all, then you can have everything this year. I'll take nothing, and we'll load up for next year.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals were a Super Bowl contender this year. They – Absolutely. Were in the AFC Championship game last year. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This isn't a team that needs moral victories. This is a team that, even before the injury, clearly was not as good, as deep. They weren't the team that we thought that they were going to be. And even if they made the playoffs, it would be more of a struggle because the defense isn't going to be able to carry them as they pretty much had the last two postseasons. As much as I would love for Jake Browning to ball out and Bengals miraculously go 4-3, 5-2 down the stretch, which I don't think is as big of a stretch as everyone thinks it is. The schedule is daunting. There are no teams below 500, and we'll get into that later here. It's not that good of a – it's not really that tough of a schedule when you look at the actual teams involved. Is getting to 9-8, 10-7, and maybe squeaking in because teams are going to fall off. The Steelers are going to fall off. The Browns – I just don't think that defense is going to be able to carry them because the offense just isn't reliable. I think the Texans are only because you can't rely on a rookie quarterback to, you know, I think they'll probably fall off a little bit, although they're set up really, really well for the future. I think outside of the top four teams of Ravens, Chiefs, Jags, and Miami, it's a huge middle ground of pretty much everybody else. There's really not a terrible outside of, is there a terrible AFC team?
Is there a terrible AFC team?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, there isn't a bad AFC team.
The AFC South was supposed to be horrible. You got Colts, Jags, Texans. Who am I missing in the AFC? Titans.
They're beat the shit out of the Bengals and they have
they're
a
not, no, they're quarterback. Not terrible.
Yeah.
Hold on. Time out. The Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots are it. And the Jets' offense is awful, but they've got a really good defense. If they had Aaron Rodgers, they'd be 8-3, 7-4, something like that.
But, I mean, we talk about this AFC playoff picture. Okay, so you name the four division leaders, right?
Yeah.
With you know, Miami and Jacksonville, and in the West, you got Kansas City, and then who am I missing in the North?
Right, Ravens.
Baltimore.
The Ravens.
And then you look at, I mean, who's the next best team? Probably, I think most people would side with the Bills, probably.
The Browns only like because that defense is so good. And I mean, the Bills are 5-5. Bills are in the exact same spot with the Bengals. They just have a healthy quarterback.
So you want to take the Browns as team number five, and I'm not arguing with you or saying that you're wrong, but you're talking about the fifth best team in the AFC. The starting quarterback is Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Right.
And then, I mean, when you go to six, you're talking about rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Who the hell's seven? I have
Steelers.
No,
Steelers are in the seventh spot right now.
The Steelers, I mean, if they make the playoffs, that'll be the most boring first game in the history of playoffs. My point, I guess, is that the Bengals still have a real path to the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not saying that I necessarily want it, but there is a real path to the playoffs. And I do think Jake Browning is, I do think he's good enough to make this happen. If the Bengals really go all in on trying to make the playoffs, and if they do, fine. I don't have a problem with it. I wish Jake Browning the best. I do think he's good enough to get the job done. When you start looking around the AFC, I mean, who's left? I mean, just who is left? The Browns are 7-3, and the Browns are basically the only difference between the Browns and the Jets is that the Browns have their backup quarterback in, and he's better than Zach Wilson. I mean,
they've got a good offensive line. That's it, because they can run the ball.
I don't know. I mean, 13-10 games, the Browns and the Steelers in a 13-10 game. It's tough for me. Kenny Pickett, who we talk about with the Steelers, they're 6-4. Kenny Pickett has 2 touchdowns since October 1st. What? I mean, Anthony Richardson has 2 touchdowns since October 1st. He hadn't played since October 2nd. I mean, what are we doing? Kenny Pickett is garbage. I mean, I'm just saying, there's just not much in the AFC where you look around and go, well, they're definitely in. After the top four, I mean, yeah, I guess you could lean Browns, but you're talking Dorian Thompson-Robinson. You could easily see them rattle off 4 or 5 losses in a row without hesitation. It's hard to really put that playoff picture together right now in the AFC because so many people have lost so much talent.
Yeah, it's funny because since the Steelers bye week, which was week 6, Kenny Pickett has as many touchdown passes as Jake Browning. Jake Browning played one half of football.
Yep.
And he hasn't thrown any interceptions. He has 0 interceptions from his last interception was on October 1st. But he's checked down Charlie or he throws the ball so inaccurate that it's near nobody. Like there's one highlight that was going viral from last week's game, and he threw it deep and there was literally nobody within probably 20 yards of it. Like even the receivers, there's Roethlisberger was watching the game, like that was live streaming the game. And he's like, where the hell was that too? Well, and it's just hilarious.
That and he'll just take the sack.
Right.
You know, that's fine sometimes. But the fact that you're Kenny Pickett and you've thrown 0 interceptions and your offense has been absolutely horrific, that is a bigger sign of real, real problems.
Yeah, you're not pushing the ball.
If your quarterback throws 0 interceptions and you're not scoring, what are you running, the wishbone? What is this, 1970s high school? No, it's the NFL. You were a first-round quarterback. I mean, there's just not much there. Kenny Pickett's been a super disappointment for the Steelers, and there's nothing I love more than watching that.
Well, and again, it's hilarious because, you know, they changed offensive or they fired their coordinators, and I can't remember who's going to be calling plays. They're not revamping the offense in the middle of the season. It's still going to be the same plays. Again, they're going to probably, you know, push more play action. Probably, you know, they lean heavily on the run anyway, so I'm not going to change that. So you can see him maybe getting a little better, maybe a little more efficient, but he's risk averse. Like, if you're not throwing touchdown passes and you're not throwing interceptions, then what are you doing with the ball? Like, you're just checking it down. You're not you sometimes need to put the ball in harm's way.
Yep.
I just don't understand it. It's crazy. And he's only completing 60% of the passes. If you're an NFL starting quarterback, especially one who's a first round pedigree, and you're only completing 60% of the passes, that's bad.
Especially when you're in a run, heavy offense, you should even have a higher percentage.
Right. Exactly. Cause how many of your passes are dump offs to the running backs, tight ends? Yeah. you've got a volatile but talented bunch of receivers. I mean, George Pickens, he's a flaming asshole, but like he's talented and he can make some absolutely insane grabs. Just throw that damn ball up to him. Yeah. Do something. And again, I'd love to see him try to push. Well, maybe not this being the week since Cam Taylor-Britt's like possibly. I'm not sure if he's going to play on Sunday, but if you're going to be missing a starting cornerback, this is the week. You know,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
So it's but yeah, it'll
just
be
just to clarify. Joe said cornerback.
Corner, yeah,
guys, don't panic, guys. Cornerback.
Yeah. Cornerback. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, we talked about the Bengals, what they need to do on offense. Again, this is Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan need to make the money. And I really hope, like, if they struggle, I really hope that Brown, Blackburn, Tobin, whoever the hell like has the final call on coaching decisions, I hope they take a long, hard look and think that, like, things aren't working. If you can't, like, you still have an incredibly talented skill position group, and you can't scheme guys open, these might be the wrong guys. You can't just say, here, Joe, just go win us the game when it's, when you're midway through the first quarter. And, well, we're out of great ideas. Just call everything in the line. Like, no. Burrow loves to do that, but sometimes, like, you need to make things easy for him so he's not having to try to do everything. Like, that's, we've been talking all year. They bogged down after the first quarter. Like, they bogged down terribly on offense because there's no creativity. It's bland. Teams know what they're trying to do, and they're able to stop them. It doesn't matter who your players are. If the teams know what you're going to do, it's going to be hard to consistently move the ball up and down the field. I mean, teams, 2 years ago, they stopped letting them throw the ball over their heads. Okay, cool. We'll figure out what's next. And they were efficient last year. Well, this year, teams have learned what to do. And they need to figure something out.
I just think that the Zach Taylor was never, I think it's like his baby, you know, he was never going to let anybody else ever call plays if Joe Burrow is the quarterback. He was going to continue to be that guy. I think this is the one opening I can see where if I'm the Bengals front office, I'm going down to Zach Taylor and I'm saying, hey, this hasn't been great anyways. And in no way is your job under scrutiny, but we think maybe now's the time where we let Callahan call plays and let's see kind of how you feel being the head coach without calling plays.
Right.
And why not try it right now? Because this is the perfect moment to try it. And in no way are we saying that next year at the beginning of the year, are you not calling plays? But we think now's the time where we have an opportunity to kind of figure things out. And I think this opportunity presented itself in the worst possible fashion. But I think, the Bengals really need to entertain the idea of, looking through all the avenues.
Yeah, and they can definitely benefit moving forward. On to the other side of the ball, defense need to find players on the defensive line. DJ Reader is a free agent after this year. I don't think there's any chance in hell they let him go. They can't let him go. No depth really has developed on the defensive, like, in the defensive interior. Zach Carter has been awful. Joe Osai has been a ghost. Miles Murphy, Cam Sample's done pretty. I think he's, revelation's not the right word, but
yeah,
he was not the guy that I would assume that would have stepped up to be the best second line pass rusher. Murphy's going to take, I have full confidence Murphy's going to take control of that here going down the stretch, but you still need more guys. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's out. They have zero. They'll double team and they'll chip on Miles Murphy and no one else is going to get to the quarterback. So they need to figure something out, whether it's bringing up guys. I want to see him bring up Dominic Davis or someone else from the practice squad, someone who hasn't, Jay Tufele is what he is. Josh Tupou is what he is. He's the only other run stopping and a true nose tackle that the Bengals have. They need to figure stuff out on the defensive line. Linebackers absolutely need to play better down the stretch. They committed a lot of money to Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson, and they've been mediocre, and it hurts to say. I mean, we love them. Like, I'll defend Logan Wilson and his motor, and anytime anyone tries to say anything about him being dirty, I'll fight them. But they've been mediocre at best. They've missed 15 combined tackles, the two of them. They cause havoc with turnovers. Like they're great playmakers. I mean, Jermaine Pratt's going to go and try to strip the ball. Well, tackle the guy. Bring the guy down. Quit letting him get those extra 6-7 yards because he's trying to strip the ball. You're not going to get as many... Logan Wilson has more interceptions than any other linebacker since he came into the league, but just make the tackle and play. Like, you know, their coverage... And again, grades on coverage for linebackers are tough because a lot of times they're playing zone, and if they're kind of left, you know, there's guys flooding, there's, you know, two guys in their zone on defense, someone's going to be open, and that's going to get a ding against you for a completion. Completion percentage is going to be pretty high. So it's hard to fault them there, but I don't think that they've been anywhere near as good as they need to be, or, you know, they both got really nice contract extensions, or I guess Pratt technically wasn't a contract extension so much as it was just a brand new deal because he was a free agent, but they need to play better. The linebackers need to play better throughout the season and then moving forward into next year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is, you know, sometimes fat and happy is, you know, a true statement, and it's hard to fight against it. And that's why I think, you know, Saban and Belichick, all these guys talk about the hardest thing in life is not success. The hardest thing is sustained success. Because once you taste success, it's very easy when you get the contract for $30 million to be like, I made it. I'm good. And I'm not saying that Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt are doing that. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I think subconsciously sometimes, you know, you do lose that will to, you know, when Logan Wilson was coming into the league, you know, his thought process was, guy from Wyoming, I'm trying to prove myself. I belong here.
Yeah.
I belong here. Same with Pratt. I belong here.
Yeah, these are third round picks. They weren't like these weren't first round picks or, you know, second round picks. These were late day two picks.
And now you're getting paid like you're the guy. And again, I'm not saying that they're doing this or that, you know, but I do think there's a little bit of your drive that either you have to supplement that with your own personal just decision to have it, or you're not going to have it. And that's the difference between Michael Jordan and everybody else that's ever played basketball. He just had that massive drive inside of him, even after winning. You know, he would just find things that pissed him off, and then that was his drive for that day or that week or that month or that year. So these guys have gotten paid, and well, now you gotta even kick it up an extra notch.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we'll see what happens. And the last thing I have, like, through the rest of the season, it's just like we talked about it before. Schedule really that bad. I don't think the schedule is really that bad. Hang on, just 1 second here.
Bengals can make it as we're talking about the schedule as Joe's away. Home versus Steelers, Monday Night Football at the Jags, home versus Indy, home versus the Vikings, at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City, home versus Cleveland. You're seeing a lot of bad quarterbacks or backup quarterbacks there. Indy, you're talking about a backup. Steelers, Kenny Pickett, Vikings, Josh Dobbs, Cleveland with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. A backup, Pittsburgh, obviously having them twice. That's two times you play Kenny Pickett. So this schedule is not crazy. I really do think Jake Browning is going to be good enough that you really could make a run at this. I think it depends on how well he plays early, because obviously if you lose one or two in a row, that'll kind of put an end to it. But I think it's quite plausible that the Bengals can make a move here. To me, it really does go back on what is going to be their philosophy. Is it going to be that we're going to play young guys and get young guys reps, or is it going to be that we are really trying to push towards the postseason? Is Joe Mixon still going to be, the back that gets every carry? Are you going to see more of Chase Brown? Are you going to see more of these younger guys? So I think that'll be the thing that you'll see answered pretty quickly.
Okay, sorry about that. Had to disappear real quickly. Okay. And back to what I was going to say. Like, is the remaining schedule really that bad if we look at it game by game? Home versus the Steelers. Steelers have a good defense. Their offense isn't good. Like, if you score 14 points, if you score 17 points, you're in good shape. Like, you know, I just don't see the Steelers, even with the Bengals defense being as rough as it has, I don't see them putting up 21 points. Monday Night Football at Jacksonville, that's a loss. I'm okay saying that Jacksonville's a good team, but, you know, next week they're home versus the Colts with the backup quarterback, Gardner Minshew. No one's scared of Gardner Minshew. They have some talent, but they're not really scaring anyone. Their defense is meh.
They're very hit and miss. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. They're decent because they've won games that they should win, lost games that, you know, that they should have lost. Next week, home versus the Vikings. Again, backup quarterback. Joshua Dobbs is a decent backup quarterback, but Bengals already beat Joshua Dobbs this year.
That's a good point.
Again, another home game. Bengals at Paycor is a tough, tough out. A week after that, at Pittsburgh, still the same team they have here. Maybe they'll be a little, offense will be a little smooth because they'll be a handful of weeks in with the new coordinator. But again, they're still want to try to figure out what works with them. So, week after that, at KC, that's going to be a tough game. But next week, the week after that is home versus Cleveland. Is Cleveland going to be playing anybody? That's the last game of the season. Browns already have their quarterback out, Nick Chubb gone for the year. If they have a playoff spot clinched, even if they're locked into like the sixth seed, seventh seed, they're going to play Myles Garrett. There's no chance in hell they're going to play Myles Garrett. You cannot have that guy lose that guy. They use that guy and you're done. Like, just fold up. Even if you make the playoffs, just play your reserves because you're not going to win. So I don't want to say, I mean, there's a legitimate chance they can go 4-3. I don't know 4-3 if 9-8 is going to make the playoffs this year, but it's,
I definitely think it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as of now, you kind of project forward with how the team's records are right now. You'd say no, but you have to look at each team at, you know, the teams that are there. 9-8 might make it. God forbid they go 5-2. Again, I don't think that's a possibility, but God forbid they go 5-2. Then they're 10-7. And yeah, they're going to struggle because they're lacking in the a lot of head-to-head spots. But I think 10-7 probably would get them into the playoffs. Just final thoughts here for me. I want to root for a winning team. I want to root for, you know, even down the stretch with the backup quarterback, knowing that even if they make the playoffs, they're not going anywhere. So it's not like you want them to tank, but it's almost, I'd rather them go 0-7 than to go 9-8, 10-7 and miss out from the playoffs. Cause then you're still getting the draft pick that's, you know, 20 as opposed to 10, 11, 12, and you don't even get the cheer in the playoffs. So I don't know what I want. I don't know what to do with the Bengals. I'll leave on that note.
Yeah. To me, I give two games. I think you can take two games where you know, playoffs is still a real aspiration. If you lose, both of those, then I think it's time to wrap it up, get as many young guys in as you can, shelf some guys, and then I think you absolutely tank. But I have no problem with them, you know, giving it a couple weeks with Jake Browning and trying to win games.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that pretty much does it for our Thanksgiving Thursday wrap-up. Real quick, what's your prediction for what do you have for a prediction for Sunday's game?
I think Jake Browning, I don't know that I necessarily have a score, but I think Jake Browning plays better than we think. And I think it'll be interesting to watch how the play calling develops. I don't know that I necessarily have a score. I really need to see those things. But I'll take the under of however many points you want to say. I'll take the under. Hopefully, I think Jake Browning's going to surprise some people. I'm very excited to see him play.
Yeah, I meant to check what the line is for the Bengals and Steelers. I know that they were. Of course, I pick up a line that has like 85 different things. I just want to see the numbers here. Oh well. I'm going to say the Bengals. I'm going to say they win 21-17. I maybe a defensive score in there.
Bengals are +1.5 points.
Yeah, I knew the Bengals were giving points at home, which is which I kind of get, but also the Steelers' offense is just bad and they're on the road. I definitely, yeah, take the under. If the under is anything 35 and under, which probably should be.
It's 35 and a half. You were dead on.
Nice guess. Yeah. Hammer the under if you're betting out there. Outside of that, everyone, I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Greg, final words for me, Boogie.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go Bengals. And this reminded me of a song. Hello, darkness, my old friend. That's how I feel with Joe Burrow going down. It's okay. Sunshine and rainbows. We're going to be all right, people. We got next year. It's okay.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone. Take care. We'll see you all next week.